A computer program was created with the express purpose of giving value to the days of the 20th century. So all data that could be fed into it were fed into it concerning each day of the 20th century. And then the question was asked of it, what is the most uneventful day of the 20th century? And it came up with April 11, 1954, because no celebrity was born, no disaster happened, no war broke out. In other words, nothing newsworthy happened on April 11, 1954. Well, a day is treated probably as significant in connection with celebrity, disaster, or human conflict. Oh, by the way, you can Google the date and you'll see that it really is the most insignificant day according to that computer program. But what it shows is how the significance of a day is measured in connection with celebrity, with disaster, or human conflict. And by that measure, the event of the burning bush should be considered uneventful. It happened, after all, in a remote desert place that no media outfit of today would consider worth covering. The person involved, while a celebrity in his prime as a prince of Egypt, is now an 80-year-old husband. And the mission involved is the deliverance of an obscure people who for hundreds of years have been slaves in Egypt. Kaya kung ang pag-uusapan ng panukat na gagamitin ay celebrity, disaster, at iba't iba pang mga maibabalitang pangyayari, hindi matuturing na ganun kahalaga ang nangyari dito sa disyerto ng Midian ng ang Panginoon ay nagpakita kay Moises sa isang nag-aapoy na halaman. Who cares that a bush in the Midian desert was on fire that day? And that Yahweh was calling Moses to a mission. And in this last section of our study, we are hearing the responses of Moses to Yahweh. We just sang about every argument of sin. And here you have it. Every argument of unwillingness. Moses objects. Moses protests. Now, it is still part of the exchange between Yahweh appearing in that burning bush to the man Moses. And we have seen many sidelights in our series which teach us valuable lessons on obedience to God. But again and again, I have tried to show that the ultimate fulfillment of this should be seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses is here being called to be a mediator between Yahweh and his people, the Israelites. And the ultimate fulfillment of the work of mediation is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Si Jesus ang ultimong tagapamagitan. Tinawag si Moises na maging tagapamagitan sa puntong ito. Ngunit sa puntong ito pa lamang, nakikita na natin ang kakulangan niya, ang katotohanan na siya ay marupok na tao, at bagamat siya ay tinawag ng Diyos at naging magiting sa katawagan na iyon, ang pinakasakdal na katuparan ng pagiging tagapamagitan ay walang iba kundi ang ating Panginoon. Now, here the Lord is giving Moses the assurance that he needs in order to assure him that what is waiting him in his mission in Egypt is success. He assured him that the Israelites will listen to him. He assured him that he will exercise his mighty hand and compel Pharaoh, the most powerful man on earth at that time, and that he would yield to the request of Moses. Not only that, he assured him that the Egyptians will be well disposed towards the Israelites, and in the process, they will plunder the Egyptians. And after being promised all these things, Moses returns to the same issues that God already assured him he has taken care of. How so much like us. Despite the promise, we suggest that we see no way for that happening. When Moses objected that they will not listen, that is an incredible story that the Lord appeared to you. Well, the Lord gave Moses three signs, each calculated to respond to his objection. And there we learn that God's sovereign power is over every factor for the effectiveness of his word. Next, Moses protested that he was not an eloquent speaker. And he had reason to say so. After all, he has been 40 years without practice of rhetorics in Egypt. And so he had reason to doubt his ability, and the Lord responded to him by saying, I made you speak even to this day. I mean, basically, that is the point. That is the reason why you can still speak today. It's the Lord who gave your mouth, your ability. It is for that purpose now. It will be used for redemption. Note the patience of the Lord's dealing with Moses. Here we come to the last of Moses' trump card. And he gave not so much an objection, but a request. If turn your Bibles to Exodus for our last message in this series, chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. Exodus chapter 4, verses 13 to 17. But he said, O my Lord, please send someone else. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is there not Aaron, your brother, the Levite? I know that he can speak well. Behold, he is coming out to meet you, and when he sees you, he will be glad in his heart. You shall speak to him and put the words in his mouth, and I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and will teach you both what to do. He shall speak for you to the people, and he shall be your mouth, and you shall be as God to him. And take in your hand the staff with which you shall do the signs. Now here Moses runs out of excuses about himself. He's incredible, God answers that. He's not eloquent, and God answers that. So his last card is, someone else is better for the job. Send someone else. And the narrative tells us that the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses. Now, don't imagine that this is like an emotional outburst, the way we would respond to a person whose behavior we don't like. Rather, this is an expression of the Lord's displeasure with Moses' weakness and his unwillingness to submit. And yet, still again, the Lord accommodates his servant and finds a way for his word to have its course. Nothing will stop the word. And that is the point of God's response to Moses. And this is my last message in this series. The Lord will fulfill the cause of his word in spite of his servant's weakness. The Lord will fulfill the cause of his word in spite of his servant's weakness. Isa sa katuparan ng Panginoon ang layunin ng kanyang salita sa kahit sa kahinaan ng kanyang lingkod. So just when Moses' unwillingness seems to reach a stalemate for Yahweh's cause, another way is opened. And here we see that the Lord's cause, the Lord's word will come to pass. He gives the opportunity to the servant to be the means. And if you are not willing to be the means, it is not bad for God's cause. It is bad for you. But God's cause will move on. By one means or another, you are being given the privilege, we are being given the privilege to be the means. And if we refuse, God's cause is not shortened by the unwillingness of his servant. But two principles we should learn here. First, the will of God is the best. Ang kalooban ng Diyos ang pinakamainam. The will of God is the best. And secondly, the word of God is not chained. Ang salita ng Diyos ay hindi mapipigilan. The word of God is not chained. The first lesson that should emerge here clearly is that the will of God is the best. Ang kalooban ng Diyos ay ang pinakamainam. And God's will for Moses is given to him so explicitly. Be the spokesman for me in Pharaoh's presence. That's God's will. Clear, explicit, and ambiguous. But Moses is unwilling. He gives his excuses. And finally, he relents by pointing to someone else. And in refusing, Moses missed what could have been the best option for his mission, as you shall see if you read on the narrative of Exodus. And so with us, we need to learn that doing God's will always proves to be the best of all options. It may be more difficult, it may be beset with opposition, but doing the will of God will always prove to be the best option. Moses is given here the best way to accept Yahweh's call, be the spokesman on his behalf. When Moses refused, the Lord's anger is kindled, we are told, and yet we see the Lord once again condescending to his servant. Moses was not dismissed. Moses was not retired. But for the first time in the Bible, we are introduced to Aaron. Now, Aaron will prove to be a help and will play a key role in Israel's history, but also on several instances, Aaron will prove to be a serious headache to Moses and to the Israelites. Let me just remind you of one of the more serious offenses in the wilderness journey. When Aaron, in the absence of Moses, when Moses was in Sinai, Aaron led the people, perhaps pushed and pressed by the people to produce something. What did he produce? An image of the golden calf. And then he says, "This is Yahweh who delivered us from Egypt." A terrible case of idolatry, a terrible case of compromise and of fainting yieldedness to the demands of the people, and it led to disaster. Another case was when Aaron, as Moses' brother, conspired with his sister Miriam and rebelled against Moses, resulting in the leprosy of Miriam to be healed days later. And we can say more. But don't you see, those things would not have happened if Aaron were not given the prominence he was given as second to Moses. And that would not have happened if Moses immediately accepted God's will, clearly and explicitly stated to him, be the spokesman. He doesn't want to. So he has another spokesman, and the spokesman gave him headaches. But we see the fulfillment of this in the complete mediator. The imperfect mediator in Moses failed. He did not do the will of God completely. But of the Lord Jesus, his fulfillment is complete. His life is obedience to God's will. Of the Messiah, this is the word said in Hebrews 10:7, "Behold, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." That is the summary of the Messiah's life on earth. I have come to do your will, O God. And in Jesus' own words, in one of his discourses in John chapter 6, 38, he summarized his mission in this way: "I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." And because Jesus obeyed his Father's will completely, the redemption he offers is without fail. My friend, any other redemption will fail you. There is no redemption in the church, no redemption in morality, no redemption in good works. The only redemption that completely satisfies the Father's will is the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Yun lamang ang katubusan na bunga ng kompletong pagsunod ni Jesus sa kalooban ng kanyang Ama. But doing God's will remains a challenge to our Christian life. It is still about God's will for us everywhere. And every day, we ask, what is the will of the Lord? And that sets man apart from all other creatures. Well, they say the chimpanzee is our closest relative among animals because they are only 1-2% genetically different from us. So malapit daw natin kamag-anak ang chimpanzee. But how do chimpanzees determine what to do? Well, in every pack of chimpanzees, there is a leader by way of strength. And no one dares challenge that leader at the expense of cruel punishment until someone dares to challenge that leadership. And on, the life of the chimpanzee goes on. Does he stop to ask, what is my Creator's will? Of course not. What sets apart man is that we ought to ask, what is the Lord's will that sets us apart? So let me challenge you by way of a searching question. Are you avoiding the will of God in your life? Knowing God's will continues to be a perennially interesting topic among Christians. In camps, in workshops, in discussion, they ask, what is the will of the Lord? But many times it is reduced to God's will for a life partner. Now that is important. And addressing young people that we addressed this morning, unequal yoking is not God's will. No matter how attractive, no matter how he or she makes you feel good, it is not God's will. Watch your ways and your desires, young people, because you are in for a disaster if you decide on the basis of attractiveness, of feeling good. Don't sing with a song, how can it be so wrong when it feels so right? No, it's not your feeling. But it's not all about that. God's will also means about your study. God's will also has to do with your job, with your money, with your abilities. And the biblical narratives are full of cases of missing the best by not doing God's will. Jonah, who tried to flee via the way of Tarshish, ended up in Nineveh anyway, but so much the worse. Abraham and Sarah decided to force God's hand and have the seed. They couldn't wait for the time. And brethren, we are still living with the consequences today of that choice that gave birth to Ishmael and his people, the Arabs. And then later on, you have God's will in Isaac with his descendants among the Jews, and we still live with their conflicts, not doing God's will. It remains one of the most paramount principles of the Christian life, stated in Romans 12, verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Christian life is very much about determining God's will. And brother or sister, you may be in a situation that is so full of confusion, complication, because you are not in the center of God's will. What will of God is clear to you, and yet you are avoiding by protesting the way Moses did? It may not feel good. Nobody says you must feel good to do the will of God. But you must know it is God's will based upon his word, upon the conviction given to you by the Holy Spirit. John Calvin did not want to leave Strasbourg when Geneva called a second time. After he's been there the first time and it ended up in a mess. He and Farrell were cast out by the city administrators. And now that the city of Geneva was under pressure from the Catholic Church, they knew only one man can withstand the pressure. And back they went to John Calvin. John Calvin did not want to, and you could understand him. But then he determined that it was God's will. And because he obeyed what he knew to be God's will, it was not only good for Geneva then, it was good for the world of Christianity until now. The will of God is the best. Believe that. And so is there a clear will of God for you in an area of your life that you need to say yes to rather than object? The will of God is the best. Secondly, the Word of God is not chained. Ang salita ng Diyos ay hindi mapipigilan, hindi natatanikalaan. Now, since Moses refused to be the direct spokesman for Yahweh, will that be the end of Yahweh's word? Well, Yahweh made provision to have Aaron become the go-between for Moses to Pharaoh. And calling Moses like God to Aaron simply means that what Yahweh is to Moses, he will put words in Moses' mouth. Moses will be to Aaron. Moses will give the words to Aaron, and Aaron then will be the spokesman to Pharaoh. Despite the weakness and the unwillingness of Moses, Yahweh finds a way to give course to his word. He always does. No human hindrance will prevent the course of the Word of God. Walang hadlang ng tao ang makapipigil sa tatahakin ng salita ng Diyos. Since the first preaching on Pentecost of the Gospel and its writing in the New Testament, the Word moves on in history without fail. And this point, this second point is an explicit citation of the New Testament. 2 Timothy 2:8 and 9, Paul languishing in prison, about to face death in a few days. What would he say? Remember that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, according to my gospel, for which I suffered trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. Siya ay natatanikalaan. Maaring siya ay nasa maximum security ng Roman jail, at ang ibig sabihin niyan, siya ay nakatanikala, kamay at paa. Nakalulunos na kalagayan. Subalit habang nakikita niya ang kanyang kalagayan, nagbubunyi siya sa katotohanan na hindi matatanikalaan, hindi magagapos ang salita ng Diyos. Whatever the hindrance may emanate in the strength of the opposition, as Paul was imprisoned in Rome, many Christian churches find the option in alliance with the forces of the world to advance the word. Alliance with politics, alliance with business, alliance with compromise. And every time there is that alliance, it is always the church that yields. And that is not the way for the church. But if we find the opposition of the world a hindrance, nothing is more frustrating than when the hindrance emanates from the weakness of God's people. When, like Moses, we object, Moses, they will not believe me. I am not eloquent. And finally, send someone else. I really am not willing to do this job. We are missing the opportunity to see the power of the word that cannot be chained by any hindrance. From the burning bush, Moses and Aaron will go to Pharaoh in that unlikely mission of redemption. They would never have dreamed that it would be possible for the Israelites to leave Egypt. They could never have imagined the scenario of the divided Red Sea and the Israelites crossing through that as the motive of redemption in the Old Testament. Two weak men, an unwilling servant, a compromising servant, an unlikely partnership, and yet this fragile man God used to give course to his word. How often we bemoan the weakness of Christians, and we bemoan the weakness of Christian churches. I know, I see many of them, and yet for all the weakness, the word of God is given due course. The word will not be chained. If you don't understand the immune system of the body, you would likely think that vaccination is a stupid idea. Vaccination is introducing the exact disease into the body, but precisely because it activates the immune system in order to fight that disease. And sometimes we think this church is sick or that church is weak, and we think nothing can be done. You don't understand the immune system of God's word, that it will be given due course no matter the weakness, even of his servants. But now I ask you again, are you passing your responsibility for the word to someone else? Go to Pharaoh, God tells Moses, and he says, send someone else. It is still happening today in many forms. As a member, it is your duty to be in the prayer meeting. And God is telling you, go to the prayer meeting. And you object, there are others already going. My absence will not count. Or you hear the will of God upon your conscience, go and tell your friend about your Christian faith. And you object, someone else is better at it. Get involved in that ministry. You have the ability. I have given you that ability. And again, you object. Others could do it better. Pick up your pen, work on your keyboard, and write. And again, object, object. Someone else can do it. And every time we object, remember, God's cause is not the loser. He will find another means. He will find an Aaron. The loser is the one who rejects. We are the loser for not gladly accepting the call. This was the point of Mordecai, the uncle of Esther, when there was that plot hatched by their enemy to exterminate the Jews. And Mordecai told Esther that she was in that place where she was in order to be the means of God. And listen to what Mordecai tells Esther in Esther 4:14. If you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. If you're not willing, God has other ways. God is not going to lose his cause because the servant is unwilling. But Mordecai tells Esther, you are the loser. And remember the classic response of Esther, if I perish, I perish. And we need that kind of commitment from believers because we know God's cause is not a loser's cause. It has victory promised and pledged. We need no burning bush today. We settle it at the cross of Christ. Will you submit? On this same day, October 27, but the year 1771, John Wesley issued a challenge. America needs missionaries. And one of those who responded was Francis Asbury. His name would not be a name we would easily recall, but it's a gigantic name among Methodists. One of their greatest missionaries. He went to America, traveled by foot thousands of miles, preaching the gospel. He responded to the call. And there is a call still in many forms, in many ways. And the question is whether we would respond. The call for each one of us is that there is a work for Jesus. None but you can do. And that is our last hymn. I invite you to turn to our handouts for the last hymn. It says in the refrain, work for Jesus day by day, serve him ever, falter never, Christ obey, yield him service, loyal, true. There's a work for Jesus, none but you can do. And may we accept that work and never say send someone else instead. Many hundreds of years after Moses, someone else was also challenged by that inquiry, who shall go for us? And Isaiah in the temple said, here I am, send me. And may that be our response to God's call. Let's close in prayer. Dakila naming Diyos, maraming salamat sa natapos naming serye ng pagtatagpo ng iyong presensya sa katauhan ni Moises sa halamang nag-aapoy. At naway natutunan namin ang isang napakahalagang aral nito ng pagsunod sa iyong panawagan. Naway hamunin mo ang mga narito na nalalaman nila na tinatawag mo sila sa larangan ng paglilingkod at maaring kagaya ni Moises, sila ay tumututol at nagkakaroon ng mga pangangatwiran. Help us, Lord, to learn from Moses that your word and its course will find success whether or not we offer our service. Because your word is going to find other ways, and yet the very offer for us to be the means is a privilege. So grant that we may truly accept that the will of God is the best. And if there is your will being pressed upon us in any area of our lives, may we learn to respond in faith rather than in warding off that call the way Moses did. And yet the very imperfection here of Moses bring us to the Lord Jesus. He did not relent, though his course was all the harder than Moses was, yet he took it all upon himself. He drank all the cup, and because he did, there is complete redemption. Speak to those who still need this redemption, because it is full and perfect in the Lord Jesus. But grant that we may truly respond to the disclosure of your will in our consciences, and help us, Lord, to not to be conformed to the world, but to learn to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, and that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we also learn that the word of God is not chained, that though the servant may be weak and fragile, your word will not allow the hindrances of men, whether those hindrances come from enemies or emanate from the frustrating weaknesses of your own people, your word will find due course. And yet the challenge remains for us. In many ways, we are still warding off the challenge that we are responsible to do individually, whether it is the challenge of prayer, the challenge of service, the challenge of participation, and whatever it is. May we learn not to say with Moses, send someone else. But like Isaiah, we would say, here I am, send me. So be with us in the application of this. In Jesus' name we pray all these things. Amen.